Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we dive into why women talk about their exes. Why do they feel the need to bring up their exes to somebody that they're seeing or somebody that they're dating or somebody new that they've just met? It's not for the crazy reasons that you think. We're not testing you. We're not messing with you. We're not challenging you to step up. We're actually telling you we like you. And that's what we talk about on today's episode with our guest, Jackie Gold. So keep listening. Hey guys, welcome back. This is a fresh episode, freshly brewed, and just
right from Kristen's kitchen.
Right from my kitchen. I was oddly gonna say like from my nipple. I don't know, just because Marnie's breastfeeding, and so that like.
So that means you're breastfeeding too?
No, I don't know. It always comes in my head.
Breastfeeding always goes into your head?
Yes. When I drink it, it goes straight to my head.
Nice. You even made like a sexual joke the other day too about you and what you were wearing right now towards me.
I did? Oh yeah, I did. It was last night.
Like, I'm just kidding.
Well, it was weird because I said, what are you wearing? But I meant for tomorrow.
And then you said, no, not tomorrow.
But I was like, now, right now, not tomorrow. So. We've had a name saga, as you guys know. So yeah. We're going to do Ask Women.
Colon.
I don't want to say colon because it's.
What she wants. Yeah. So we can win and Wondery can win and everybody can be happy.
Right.
The reason they changed the name was because they thought it would be better for selling to advertisers.
And they hate women.
You're going to be having ads very shortly. And they didn't like our name, but we do and we win. We're women. So we are saying now, Ask Women. What she wants in really small letters.
Exactly.
Afterwards. So we're back to being our old selves.
We are. And we're also back from a very long hiatus.
Yeah.
And I was trying to call my time home like a sabbatical.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have to be a professional in something to then be able to take a sabbatical.
You're a professional.
No, I'm a professional like LA hater. So I took a sabbatical from LA.
I think a lot of people want to take a sabbatical from LA.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was good. But it wasn't. I really went to do certain things, and I knew myself, and I didn't do a lot of them. I really wanted to spend a lot of time, like, working out and not obsessively checking Instagram and, like, decompressing from the world of social media. And, of course, I didn't do that because when I was home, I felt so disconnected from the world. But what I did do, because where I'm from, the only people that are available to date are meth addicts or cows.
Amazing.
So I shut off Tinder and Bumble.
Right.
Which was a really nice break. Super nice break. Like,
well, I didn't think you were going to date while you were there anyway.
No, but like we went out of town a couple times and I didn't turn it on like in Boston. And then I was in New York. I turned it on in New York for like an hour. And then I was like, no, I just need to stop. This is what I'm doing
taking
a break from this shit. Although when I was in New York, I was like, oh my God.
I'm not here.
I was like, I would date so many of these dudes from Bumble. And my mom
said, they're fresh. That's the whole thing. You've seen the same sort of picture over and over again in Los Angeles.
Right, because what I've seen in Los Angeles has been like, the surfer dude who's super into yoga and he's vegan, and I'm like, vomit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was a nice, was a nice break.
Okay, well then that's good.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of a break today as well. We went to the airport together.
We did.
Yes, we were supposed to go do a Facebook Live thing for the dating company Zoosk, who's an awesome online dating company, by the way. And then there are fires in Napa Valley. So we were not able to fly because of that. And so we sat in the airport for a few hours, had fun, and then went back home. And now we're here doing the podcast.
It made us both feel like we're both very isolated, so it made us feel like we were part of the world for an hour.
You had a bag, I had a little bag too. Sat with the people.
Woke up, showered.
Yeah, we went
unusual.
Home. I didn't shower.
You didn't?
No.
I did.
I did a horse bath and then.
Well, I had a shower because when I flew in yesterday, it was such a stressful thing that I was sweating and I had like stress BO, which I normally don't get.
Well, you didn't smell when I saw you today. Anyway, this is enough chit-chat for us, because guys don't want to listen to us have girl talk, right? They want to hear about...
They don't want to hear women speak.
Right, exactly. Well, now we have another woman who's coming
this
to speak with us.
This is the part of the show where we take our shirts off.
Yes, and rub our nipples against each other. I don't know.
No, I'd be like rubbing a giant pepperoni against like a little olive or something. Like mine's like so small
that it would not be good.
Anyway, that's gross. Anyway. Normally I'm not this like creepily sexual.
She's very creepily sexual.
But anyway, we have a very funny and cute girl comic with us who we've been meaning to hang out for a long time.
Ever.
Jackie Gold. And so she's going to come on in a second. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a mic right now. Mm-hmm. And so otherwise I'd be like, say hi, Jackie.
Hi.
There she is. But we're going to talk about why women talk about their exes.
Yeah.
And what to do about it.
Topic. I wrote a newsletter the other day for my newsletter subscriber list, and it got a really good response. And it's something I haven't talked about in a while, and I don't think we've actually covered it on our podcast. But before we talk about that, if you want to hand her the mic so that you and I can share this one, there was something in the news that popped up, and somebody sent it to me. And it was Brie Larson, you know, the actress, she won the Oscar. She posted something on Twitter, and Jackie, I wanted to get your opinion on it and just talk about it for a little bit because it's a big topic for a lot of guys. So she wrote, "I merely smiled at a TSA agent and he asked for my phone number. To live life as a woman is to live life on the defense." What do you think about that?
I already went off on it with Marnie got here, which I can say in a second, but
I don't know. I think it's some of those things that I don't really think about on a daily basis. And I guess in general, I tend to be someone who is a very happily, like openly friendly person. So, and maybe it's just because of my conditioning as a woman in this society, but I would smile at somebody and then they would ask me for the phone number and my initial response would be like, well, let's not hurt his feelings. Let's be very sweet and be like, oh, thank you so much. That's so nice, but no, thank you. And I, in my head, I go, that's the nice thing to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Why would you purposely be rude to that person? And then only if I'm asked to like stop and think about why is that my response that I go, oh yeah, because, well, we're taught we're not supposed to hurt people's feelings because we're always supposed to be nice and sociable because we're always supposed to present a demeanor of like being maybe nice and inclusive. And so it's only if I have to stop and like break it down. Like, but initially my response is like, why do women feel like everything is an attack?
Like, do you think that would be feel like an attack for you? Because is it him taking advantage of the position that he's in? He's checking her at the TSA whatever station section. Right. Do you think that's him taking advantage of his position and putting her in an uncomfortable situation? It doesn't sound like it was to me.
It doesn't. It's funny because I'm like, of what position?
Right.
Like, what girl like looks at a TSA guy and is like, now that guy.
Right.
Like that, yeah. Oh, he's in such a high position. Yeah. That's the guy I want. Like, part of me is like, oh, that guy's got some chutzpah. That guy's
See,
got
that's
some balls.
What I think
but
as
that's
well.
That's like the only dude in uniform that doesn't turn you on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like that's the one exception.
I'm
like,
a little afraid of the TSA agent.
Oh, doesn't turn
although
you on.
Although one today like made a very rude comment to me.
Like, I would, I feel like mall security is like more of like a power position
really?
Than TSA. Like,
that's saying a lot
TSA,
about TSA.
Yeah, like yeah. I see
it depends where you're sitting. The people who sit and check you in, I feel like they have more power. The people who are doing the scanners, who are just walking around,
yeah.
like saying, take your water out. Yeah, they don't have
like
any authority.
And even though they're all like the same to me, I'm like, they're kind of like McDonald's employees to me. Like, I'm like, all right, you're just wearing a uniform, but you're just doing your same day-to-day, nine
right.
to five.
And they don't really care.
Like, I don't think anything. I'm like, I could you up and stick you in a restaurant and you'd have like the same power to be like, all right, next in line, what would you like to order?
Right.
Like that, it just... Like, it seems the same.
But do you think
me.
That her comment was called for? Because for me, this is what I coach guys on all the time. It's like, take the opportunity. Put yourself out
right.
there and ask somebody out. Where she took extreme offense to that. Like, I know that a lot of women are on the defense. And for the guys
yeah.
who are listening, it can be very scary because they're like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to get my head chopped off. So what would you say to guys who are listening about taking chances like this?
I think it's also, I think, like, especially now what's going on where there is – like so many women are speaking forward about like sexual abuses and
yeah.
men overstepping their power. I think that when those happen and those occur, like women need to band together and like address when that happens. But I think then this becomes this like vigilante mentality in women that like at the smallest sign of something, we're like, well, no, I'm going to like, so I sometimes it feels like
not gonna let
someone's
this happen
fishing
because it'll lead to something
for
else.
A moment to be like, well, now I'm going to stand up for this. And it's like, what are you fishing for? Like, and I was just like, I think like men's brains, like the moment someone is kind, like they think that is like an in.
Right.
For
okay.
them.
So basically it's like someone had a bottle, say he's dehydrated in the desert and someone has a bottle of water in their hand. That's why he's going for, because it's like, that's his only opportunity
to maybe get a sip of water, which is, for this guy, maybe he doesn't have that many options. Dating.
I mean, he's got a million. They keep coming in the whole day.
Asking this girl who just smiled at him, which never happens, is probably him like going, oh my God, my one opportunity. Right. I'm going to ask. And like, there was, did you see the thing about Ashley Judd a few, like a month ago or so? Basically, Ashley Judd was going through security. It was the same like airport situation. And she was going through security and the dude, he had like smiled at her or something. And she was like, stop looking at me. Or I don't even know the exact thing. But then what happened was he complimented her dress after she had said, you're a TSA agent and you're not acting appropriately or something. He just said like, I like your dress or something like that. And Ashley Judd went on this like Facebook Live rant that was so obnoxious and so holier than thou. It's like in 1950, which I'm sorry, is like people try to demonize that era and everything for like men. You know, obviously it was more, men were more liberal with being like, my mom was telling me when I was home, she used to work at this company and one of the bosses told her in front of all these other men to sit on her lap. And she basically said, absolutely not. No, you know, so I understand that that stuff happened more, but like,
but I also think sit on my lap and I like your dress are two very different things.
That's what I was going to say. So, Ashley Judd is turning what he said into one of those statements that is a bad statement. Like, sit on my lap.
No, I understand what you're saying. Well, here's the thing that I wanted to add into this, because I think that it does, again, it gets very confusing for guys. And I want to explain why women are so potentially offended by that.
Or defensive about that.
And so what happens a lot of the time is that a guy comes up and he's like literally looking through her, not a TSA agent, but anybody else who approaches a woman, and they have a goal in mind. They have an outcome, a desired outcome of, I see this woman, I'm already attracted to her, and I know that I want to sleep with her in some way. Like, that's already on the table for them. For women, it's not as fast as that. It might be, that person caught my attention, there's something intriguing about them, but there's
I want
to know more. Exactly. So when anybody comes up to you, like even if a salesperson comes up to you and says, hey, my name is Joe, can I have $5 for X, Y, and Z? Right away, you're like, well, I don't even know what this is, who you are. That's kind of how it feels for a woman when you're jumping from A to B so quickly. Granted, he had, you know, limited time with her, so he wanted to take advantage of that opportunity. But I think for guys who are listening to learn about how to finesse that conversation, even if you only have 30 seconds, that would be very helpful for them. So how could this TSA agent or somebody else in this position who only has 30 seconds, how could he make an impression on a woman where she didn't feel so defensive and he could ask for a phone number? Like, showcase who he is.
I think is there a way to do it? In this particular situation, I don't think, at least for myself, like, I can't think of anything that would happen in those 30 seconds that would make me give a phone number.
Really?
Right away. Like, there's
in this particular situation.
Especially in this particular
situation. Yes, it's a weird situation.
Like, you're at an airport. Like, for us, like, maybe it's also because, like, for men, it doesn't matter what situation they're in, right, what else could be going on in their lives. Like, if they see someone, then they want to make that approach. But for us, like, if I'm at the airport, like, there's so many things I'm thinking about. Like, I want to get through this TSA as quickly as possible. What am I going to go grab something to eat when I get through? I just want to maybe get a drink. I just can't wait to get through this. Oh, my bag is hurting my shoulder. Like, there's so many things that I can't think of anything someone would say to me in those, like, 30 seconds that would make me give my number in that 30 seconds.
Well, let's say the TSA agent was cute. And let's say you were attracted to him. And let's say when you were waiting in line, you saw this TSA agent and he's chatting up everybody and he's making jokes and people are laughing and you see from a distance that he's a really friendly TSA agent. So you have that background on him and you get in front of him and he kind of jokes around with you. And then he said, I know this is kind of inappropriate, but can I have your number?
I'd love to ask Brie Larson, how would you have responded if he was good looking?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, maybe he wasn't, but I feel like maybe she would have.
But for not even offended, good looking,
I also
but
let's if say he intrigued you.
Exactly.
Like, it may have been one of those things where he was like, oh, well, I get to tell a story about how I asked this, an Oscar winner for. Though I think, I mean, she's very ordinary looking. So I feel like, I mean, and I don't mean that in like. In like a neg way. I mean, like. Honestly, if I spotted her on the street and I'm sure at the airport, she doesn't have makeup on. Yeah. I'm sure she just like has her hair in a messy bun or whatever it is. I'm sure it could just look like a regular, ordinary girl.
Yeah. But back to the question, would that have been enough space for you to say yes? Because
I don't know. I still feel like maybe not.
Okay.
Like it might be something where maybe I would give an email, or maybe I'd say, you know what, why don't you find me on like Facebook or
okay,
like,
so no matter what, you would be open to it. Like, so maybe, what about yeah. other ways? Like, so what are things for you as a woman that you need to see about somebody?
I feel like there needs to be a certain amount of time where at least my brain can rationalize that they're a safe person.
Okay. Well,
you know, because like if the very first thing is like, you know, someone just smiles and they're like, hi, what's your phone number? Or like, hi, you're cute. What's your phone number? Like my brain's like, I don't know anything about you. But like
right away, I want to cover myself up. That's actually how I feel.
Really?
So when I read that, I wanted to be covered up, but I didn't understand her being so defensive about it.
It's interesting because I think my brain goes to like, okay, well, like, how do I say this in a nice way to like make them feel safe?
Yeah.
Which is also, I mean, again, if we're really digging deep enough, means like the way in which we were brought up and the way in which like because of the society we live in, like our brain immediately goes to like, how do I protect that person's feelings as opposed to like, how do I protect my own feelings?
Well, is it kind of protecting yourself as well? Because if you were to potentially respond negatively.
Agreed. We're part of it. You're right. Because the part of me is like, well, how do I say this nicely? Because in case I don't know this person, they've only said, hi, can I have your phone number? What are they capable of if I'm not nice,
is that what
or
you're
if I
actively
don't handle
thinking?
This? In like the milliseconds that your brain processes hundreds of thoughts, yes. My brain analyzes like, how do I A, not hurt this person's feelings, because, or B, like I have no idea how this person would respond, so let me behave in a way that doesn't make this a bigger scenario.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
It's almost like damage control in a way. Like you're trying to keep it as non-aggressive as possible.
Yeah, for sure. So then again, what would be a way to open that conversation up a little bit more with a limited amount of time? Forget about the TSA, but let's say you're waiting in line for a coffee somewhere. Like what gives you enough information? Like what says I'm safe?
Wait, honestly, I'm kind of offended TSA has never asked me for my phone number.
You should be.
I try to look pretty at the airport.
I don't think anyone's ever asked me for a phone number either. And I make cute little jokes, usually to the women, because I always am like, oh, let me make me friends
me
with
too.
The women TSA. They're going to be the ones that like make sure I'm okay. Like they're going to be the ones that let me through.
Do you know what I told Jordan my dream is, or my husband my dream is, of where I know that I've achieved success, is that when I go through customs, one of the customs agents says, you just go, you helped me get my wife. Like something like that.
Right.
That would be I could die after that.
Right.
I'd be so happy.
It's always so interesting to me that like other people who have done podcasts like tell me that people have like recognized them on the streets, and I'm like, wow, like people are like that big of fans of podcasts that they
it's
know
crazy.
What people look like.
Yeah. I've been
that's
recognized
so crazy to me.
Three times from this.
One's
podcast.
On a
fantastic.
Date.
One was on a date. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Which is cool.
Were you on the date with the guy that recognized you, or you were on a date and someone else came over to you?
And it was funny because the guy was asking me about doing podcasts, and I was like, no, I mean, I don't normally get recognized. And then literally about 2 minutes later, it was almost like I had set it up or something. This guy came over, and he's like, you're Kristen Carney, right?
The guy was like,
yes, I am.
Yeah, and then that guy proceeded to try to ask me out a million times on Instagram.
The guy who ran up to you? Okay.
Who recognized me,
and then the date guy, did he feel threatened, or was he like, oh, wow, that was super cool?
I think he felt threatened.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Because he was already kind of shy.
So what makes a guy safe? Like, what are things that he can say? Like, let's say he has a dog with him. Or what are things that visually you need to hear and
he's only bit me twice.
Sorry, see.
There's only, like, certain maybe if, like, a little bit of a – I mean, in this – I can only speak for myself. Like, certain, like, little bits of, like, sense of humor might come out or probably also, like – I'm a big observer, so I observe a lot of people. So if I've observed his interactions like throughout, then like sometimes that would, you know, can make me feel safe if I like thought that, you know, he seemed like a nice person, like by how he treated other people, either in line or the staff. Like I'm very big on like how people treat like other people. So if I had like perceived his behavior, I could think that was nice. I don't know. I once was on the train in New York City, sat down, and this guy just smiled at me across the way. I smiled back. We didn't say anything to each other the entire ride. I got off, and he got off at the same stop, and he came over to me. He goes, I'm so sorry. He goes, I said to myself that if we got off at the same stop, I was going to say hello to you. And I was like, okay. And then we spoke. And because I guess basically the reason we had wound up on that train car together was, oh, because on the train car when I got on, I gave my seat up to an elderly woman or an older woman. And so he'd saw that. That's when he smiled, and then I had smiled back. And he's like, the reason I was on that car is, he's like, when I was waiting for the train, I gave my seat to somebody. He's like, so that's why I wound up in this car. So when you gave your seat, like, he's like, that's why if we got off at the same stop, I was going to say hello.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we went on like one or two dates. I was like 18, 19, like at the time.
Yeah.
But that was it. But like, I mean, this person just approached me just from a smile on the subway, and then he came and like chatted to me, but again, was a good looking. I mean, I feel bad.
You were attracted to him.
It's, that, like, looks,
it's not even good looking. It's you were attracted to him. That's basically what it is.
Right. Or, you know, seemed, had a kind face or something.
It was a quality. It's always those kind ones who kill you later.
Yeah, exactly. You start wearing your skin.
Exactly.
But I don't know if they're necessary.
It's like, no, you don't need my skin. You have such a kind face. Yeah. You just wear your own face. It's
crazy to me that people do go for that phone number within 30 seconds of talk or less of talking. Because 30 seconds is actually quite a bit of time.
But yeah.
So if people go for a phone number within like 10 to 15 seconds, that's so, it's kind
too
of,
soon.
It's so, yeah. It is a little much.
But you also said that you had the buildup before of looking at each other, exchanging those things.
It was like at least a couple minutes on the train of like,
because 85% smiling. Of communication is said with your body language. So you probably could see things from that body language that you liked. Not necessarily that he was safe, because the truth is he could have been a complete serial killer. You have absolutely no idea. Right. You're not really looking for safety. You're looking to feel comfortable and attracted to that person.
And there is something that, like, you know, that animal instinct inside, too, that's like, ooh, this is exciting. Like, I'm out in a public place and this guy's smiling at me. Like, ooh, like, it's sexy. There's something, like, attractive about it.
Yeah, because it seems like it's from a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems interesting and fun.
But then also on the flip side, I was at the supermarket the other day walking in the aisle, and this guy that I had zero interest in and was not attracted to in the slightest, like, walked by me once in the aisle and, like, you know, he seemed like, but, like, seems like a doofy guy that doesn't have many friends or slash could be slightly autistic that had walked by and had smiled. And
see how much we can sort of pick up on and decide
and
about
I,
this person.
You know,
just
kept like going out my way because I'm like, you know, there's no harm in, you know, being friendly people. And he came back in the aisle and was like, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. And I was like, I started to brace myself for like
here it
okay,
comes.
Like, how do I nicely? And he's like, I just wanted to let you know, I think you're very beautiful. And I just went, okay. I was like, oh, thank you very much. And then kept... And then in my mind was like, and then keep walking. And then you keep walking because then you're like, okay, cool. That's the end of this exchange. Like, I say thank you and then I walk and then that's the end.
Could that person have changed things around?
Like, no.
Why?
Also, there's no – I had zero attraction to them.
But could you suddenly become attracted to them if something else was displayed?
Marnie always asks this and I'm usually emphatic about it, about the answer.
Have you ever met somebody where you're like, no, I would never be with them. I'm so not attracted to them. And then you slowly gain attraction to them or quickly gain attraction in another setting where you saw them in a different light? I have. I've had that.
I mean, again, if it was a stranger, no, I don't think anything would change. But there's been like people in my life where there's objectively, this person is not a good-looking person. This person is an ugly, unattractive person. But there is something about their personality and our connection where I find myself so viscerally attracted to them.
Well,
but I also know them.
I have a super strong example of that, which I probably have talked about in this podcast. But Neil Brennan
just does it for you.
Does it for me. There's something. Interesting. I mean, he's.
I don't think he's attractive.
Out of the book of...
It's something where I can see that women are attractive. I could see that that personality and the charisma does
well,
it.
Well, because he has strong self-value.
Not for me, but I could see it.
Yeah, he values himself. He's super confident.
Very confident.
He's slightly cocky and a little asshole-y.
More than slightly.
Yeah, he's
even, and I don't know him personally at all.
He's cocky and he can be an asshole, but there's something about that insight that he has into people, into things that... I mean, I find incredibly attractive. I do think he's – it was funny because we matched on Tinder, and he's told me before, and I only swiped right to see if he would swipe right on me, and I think – because we know each other, so I think he swiped right on me just to see if I'd swipe right on him. Because when we matched, he goes, I was just curious. And I'm like, yeah, I figured because I know you didn't date comics. But, like, his pictures on Tinder, I would have never in a
you
million
would never,
years
but swiped
right.
But you recognize that it's him.
Super skinny, big, like, gaunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's something about him that I'm just – and same with Stevie. Mm-hmm. She was super attracted to Neil. And she's like, oh, my God, I would totally date him. And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't like people with baggage. And she's like, okay, then I give up because she has tons of baggage. Yeah. So,
but I'm sure he probably would – I mean, who doesn't have –
yeah, but he basically said, I will not date a female comic because I don't want to deal with their baggage
or
their emotional madness. I have enough of my own. I want like a well-adjusted woman. He said that.
Is anyone really ever that well adjusted?
I mean,
because I don't think that I carry a lot of baggage. Like, I don't. I mean, and then sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll be like,
but he,
who you came, but I don't think I actually carry all that much baggage.
You're just less than everybody else. Wait, before we go down this rabbit hole, I do want to get back onto the other topic that I wanted to bring up. So, but I love everything that you guys have said. I think it's very honest and open. And I like that you've said, well, you did
I've
say that you could
the whole time.
Change No?
I mean,
I could change.
It would be a very rare thing that would, like, that in those 15 seconds that somebody,
yes,
right there.
Yes, you need to see more things, yes, that would switch you around. Absolutely.
I mean, again, if I was a super attractive person, I'd be like, and, you know, he'd wow me. I'd be like, well, I'm going to be sitting over at gate 19, so... Right. You know.
Exactly. See? I mean, so Brie Larson, stuff it.
I just also, I feel like it's a little bit fishing. I feel like every person feels like they need to have a platform now. So it feels like it's like, oh, well, now this is my chance to speak out about how I feel. Like, we are always defensive.
I think it's too extreme. Not everything, so I wouldn't say that most women do feel this way.
To me, and there's other ways to finesse it. It's the Hollywood agenda. And I don't think most... I feel like the dudes who listen to the show, they're most likely not in Los Angeles, not in Chicago, not in New York. They're in rural areas, and there's not tons of options. And I don't think they have to worry too much about that in those places because the mindset is a little more old-fashioned for the most part, I would say. So this Brie Larson thing, I don't think would come up for a lot of men in those areas. But if you are living in a city or in a metropolitan area, I do think that's something that they have to worry about.
Yeah, it's just to be cautious of and to allow a woman to know a little bit more about you, whether it's through your body language or through the words that you say before pouncing on asking for a number.
Yeah, I think maybe just like for men to have the knowledge of like, hey, there's a million thoughts running through our head the moment you approach us. So like, approach or like go easy. Yeah. Like, because there are so many assessments we have to make. How many safety assessments we have to make at that moment.
I do in a sense agree with Brie in a tiny, tiny fragment of like, it does suck that you can't just be friendly and have nothing expected of you. Like, I get what she's going for, but the thing is, that exchange for her had to go no further than like, no, sorry. I mean, it's a different thing.
And then for her to post, it was very cute. I was at the airport today.
And this guy was so nice. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it could have gone, that's what I would have written.
Right. Well, today, Marnie, actually, we were at the airport today. And
the TSA agent told me I looked old.
Well, the TSA agent, no, he was like flirty. And I couldn't figure out, because I was at a different one right next door, but I could hear what he was saying. And on the ticket, it said, I think because we had booked our tickets together, it said like, has an adult traveler with her. And so he kind of said, where's your adult like chaperone type of thing.
It's like not as what if he I was said, a minor, right? Like 17 right. years old.
And Marnie interpreted that. And that's the thing, is everyone's interpreting everything. So Marnie interpreted that as, oh, I must look old if he's joking with me about being young.
Oh, but that's your own mishigas. That's your own craziness.
Yeah, 100% it is.
Right, so it's like, you never know how someone's going to interpret something.
Right, where I was like, haha.
Like, I was saying, right after that, I said to Marnie, well,
but I thought it was still cute. I would never post something afterwards. Yeah. No. Like, an asshole.
How dare this guy use his power to tell me I look old.
Exactly. Right. I would not do that.
But in the same sentence, he probably wasn't trying to tell you look old. He was probably flattering you because you
or
don't
look
old. Or
he's just trying to make a joke because he has to sit there for 7 hours. And he's like, oh, let me just make a joke.
Right. He's bored out of his mind.
That is true.
But I said, like,
I was cursing him the whole security thing way.
But
no, I wasn't.
I did say to Marnie after, like, that the kind of equivalent of that is like, you know, if you're thin, someone will be like, hey, fatty. But if you're actually fat,
nobody
no
would
one's
ever
gonna say,
close
hey,
to that
fatty.
Or if you're fat, no one's gonna be like, hey, skinny.
Yeah. So it's like, you kind of know, like, that means you might be a little overweight if someone's not saying, hey, fatty.
And then, of course, the skinny
fatty.
Ones are like, I would love if everyone would stop telling me how skinny I am. It's like,
yeah. I know, you can't win. Basically,
exactly.
Just stop listening to the show. Yeah. You're fucked. Yeah. That's the whole thing that we're trying to say.
Boils down to we're fucked. Yeah. Try and make yourself better, but we're fucked.
I want to get onto the next topic of why women talk about their exes, because I've had a few people write into me recently about this, saying, like, is this a test? And some men have failed miserably because they've gotten jealous and they've tried to kind of compare themselves or bump themselves up from the ex to sort of show off a little bit because of this, and that's turned off the woman that they're with. So why do girls talk about their exes?
Okay.
Or so why do you talk about your ex? And you?
I talk about my ex because it's a huge part of my life, and I want to connect with people over what has carved me into who I am.
Yeah.
And so I don't think guys look at it like that whatsoever.
It's not for you to say, this is what he did for me, step it
up,
right?
No, and it's, I guess it is the way that you do talk about it, because I'm not saying like, oh, he did this and he did that. I'm saying like, these were some of the problems, or, you know, I could tell it started here, but because I really want them to know what I experienced. I was with someone for 8 years.
Holy cow.
Huge chunk of my life.
And what were the years of your life?
Up until last year. So 25. And those are
like such formative, like women,
that was my
woman
only
years.
Relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my entire time in LA until last year, I was with him. Right. And so for me, it's a huge part of my life. And so like my ex and I actually used to talk about how it's so weird how we didn't really know each other in our formative years as teens or early 20s, because there was a lot to me that he, like, I grew up in like a performance troupe where I danced and like was a performer in Disney World for a little while.
Yeah,
like, I did all these fun things that he had never gotten to see that side of me.
Yeah.
So
you wanted to tell him about it. So you say like, this is who I am and this is where I come from.
So it's the same of me explaining that stuff, the dance stuff, as it is me explaining my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. I would say the same thing.
But again, but like my brother just, he's been dating more because for a while he was not dating at all. And he just turned 42 and he hit a point where he's like, I'm lonely. Like I'm kind of done with the singlehood. So he's been like, I'm actually impressed. He's doing
That's
a really
good
job.
That's because he always said he needs help.
Yeah. And he's been doing a really good job, but I was actually kind of coaching him when I first got home. But this girl he went out with last week, he really liked her, but she lives 2 hours away. And so it's like, obviously
this
that's
is
thing.
Like Chicago.
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York. That's right. Sorry.
Like way upstate, like nowhere near like the city or anything. And so we're in the Syracuse, Utica area, and this girl's like all the way down by Binghamton kind of.
Right.
So it's a pretty far jaunt. So anyway, he was like, I like her, but the second time we hung out, she would not stop talking about her ex-husband. So she was married, and she was talking about like, because they have one child together, and like he's got custody and all that kind of stuff. And my brother found it to be so overboard and so obnoxious. He's like, this is only our second date. I don't need to know all the stuff right now. And I said to him, I go, don't be hard on her. She's probably trying to connect, and she probably felt very comfortable with you, which is a good sign.
Or she's just trying to get it all out there. Be like, and I like
this
for
is me.
Right.
Well, for me, right. Like I've only had one real serious relationship in my adult life. Like, so. And that was, I mean, it ended like 2 years ago and it was for about a year and a half, but it was a serious one. We're talking like marriage and babies and like, and he was a little bit older than me. So I was about 31 when we were in it and, you know, and he turned 40 when we were together. So, but I think for me, there's so many things that I had learned in the relationship that I feel like now, like when I've started to date people or begin a relationship, it comes up because I feel like it's a way of explaining, like, well, this is why I like a way of being like, oh, this is why I do this, or this is why I feel this way about that, or you know, an, or as an example of something.
Do you want men to reciprocate when
you know
you
what?
Do?
And I do.
I do as well.
And they won't for the most part.
It's well, interesting.
I'll talk to them in a second.
I don't know. I'm very torn on that because one of the worst things I did after my breakup ended was, I mean, I was on the Instagram and like Facebook and like I know so much about what his life is like now. Like he's in another relationship now. I know way too much.
You know her middle name.
I know more about her than I probably ever should. And it drives me, like, even thinking about it now makes my body hot inside.
Yes.
Like, it makes my blood boil. So the thing is, like, I'm not someone who is capable of hearing about that stuff. And I didn't know that about myself because, again, like, I never had to go through this a breakup. So I probably would do things completely different coming out of another relationship now. So I'm not capable about knowing of exes, which also then explains so much because him and I would differ so much in the relationship about how we would deal with, you know, I have friends that I have slept with. And like how what his opinion was on that and what my opinion were so different. And I could not understand his opinion on it. And then now that I'm like, now that I have finished my first relationship, I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, cause if, and we're not, whether I would want it or not. Like, okay. I don't see it in the future that we would get back together. But I'm like, oh, if we got back together, I would absolutely be horrified if he wanted to still talk to this ex. You know, like,
right.
I could not deal with hearing about that relationship.
But there's a difference between talking to the ex and talking about the ex. Which one bothers you? Well, obviously, I think talking to the ex would bother you more than talking
but
about the ex.
But the only reason, and it's, I, and again, like having not been in a relationship, just having like people that I had slept with, it didn't dawn. I was like, what? I don't understand. Like, of course I could still be friends with these people. Like, of course, like I should still maintain a relationship and, you know, it'd be fine with me to be like, oh, my friend, blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, I don't want to hear about some dude. And I'm like, well, he's not some dude I fuck. Like he's a friend.
His name's Baba Ba. I'm never going to talk to him again.
he's like, he was inside you. I don't want to hear about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So my husband, when I first started dating him, and this is, I was in my early 20s when I first started dating him, and he was in his early 30s. And I remember I would constantly bring up ex-boyfriends, not saying like, they're so wonderful, they're this, oh, he called me. Like, I wasn't saying those things. I was trying exactly what you said, like to divulge information about what didn't go right or how I felt. It was a way for me to say, this is who I am and this is how I operate. Now you know what I expect. It was like my subtle way of saying what I really want without saying it directly by using this other person. And I would get really pissed off that he wasn't sharing the same information with me. Yeah. And he would never talk about it. And then at one point, he finally snapped on me and he said, I don't want to hear about the other dudes. I don't want to picture you with other dudes. Just stop talking about that. And I actually got really mad when he responded that way. But I understood what he was saying. And then I explained myself where I was coming from. And I said, honestly, I kind of want to hear about like how shitty your last girlfriend was. Like, that's what I want to hear. Right. I want to hear why it didn't work. I want to hear what happened and why I'm more special than this girl. Like, yes, that's actually what I want to hear for.
It's funny. I'm now thinking about it. I don't think I want to hear from, and it's again, I would, after the breakup, and I would be complaining, like, they'd be like, that's a male brain. Like, a male brain doesn't want to hear.
They don't. No, they don't want to know anyone else ever brain touched is like, their vagina.
And as a female brain, I want to share. I think, like, I bring up my ex because I want to share what I learned from that relationship. Like,
you want to share how you work.
Right. And I want to share, like, hey, like, in that relationship, I didn't know that I wouldn't like this or that. But now I know this. Or like, oh, I've learned from myself, like, this is how I operate, and that's what I've learned. Or I've learned, like, oh, crap, I should have been more attentive to this. Or I can't believe I didn't acknowledge that or respect this opinion more.
Passing on messages to this new person. So what would be a good—
Hold on one second. I did have a really bad experience with a guy that I was seeing talking about his ex, and I may have mentioned on the show, and it was it's a perfect example of, like, what not to do when talking about an ex. You probably will remember the story. My friend he's not my friend. We dated for a little while. He was super young. He was like 21. I was like 23. I felt like I was robbing the cradle. When we first started dating, he was 20 and couldn't get into bars. And so it just felt like I was dating such a young guy. But, right. And it was, he was very immature at the time. But he had in his room his ex-girlfriend from high school, her artwork hanging in his room. And he would point it out to me and talk about how awesome it was.
I remember the story.
Yeah, and that was so the wrong thing to do.
Right.
And they ended up after him and I mean, we were together for like 6 months officially or something. It wasn't a huge official thing. But when we broke up, as soon as we broke up, he started dating her. And it was like, okay, that makes sense. So I think that there's different tones.
Yes.
When talking about exes. So, like, that tone was the no-no tone. Like, you don't talk about how amazing she was, how beautiful she was, how great friends you were, how talented she is. You don't have her artwork hanging in your room. But you talk about an ex in a productive way of, like, this is the experience.
What would be actually a really sexy way for the guy to talk about it? Because if we're really just trying to subtly share who we are and what our wants are, wouldn't it be better for him to say something that speaks to that, saying, like, I can tell you about my exes, but I can also tell you how I work and I want to hear how you work. Like, what is a sexy way for him to understand that about us and then share information? So what my husband ended up saying after he kind of freaked out about, like, not wanting to hear about me with other dudes is he said, I'll give you 3 questions. Ask your 3 questions about my ex and then we're not talking about it anymore. And I can do the same thing for you, but then it's done. Then we just talk about the two of us. And I was like, okay.
I like that.
And I liked that. But maybe that's not good for some people.
Did you get out of that what you were looking for? The answers that you kind of were seeking?
To be honest, I don't remember the questions that I asked because there weren't specific things that I wanted to know. I just wanted him to open up.
You just wanted that sharing.
To me. I wanted the sharing.
I had a similar thing where I, again, was like, oh, like, who is the first girl you've lost your virginity to? And he was like, it's all right. We don't need to talk about that. I'm like, obviously, like, I'm not going to be jealous about something like that. You were like 17 or however old you were at the time. Like, why would I ever hold that against you? That to me is like a sharing and a bonding thing to be like, hey, like, this was my first kiss. And like, this is the person I lost my virginity to. Like, things like that, I think are shareable. I think there's like a connotation, like, if you're talking about the person and it's coming across like, I miss this person and I want to be back with that person.
Or they're wonderful. Yeah.
And like, right. or things like that. That's
me. They broke their heart.
To steer away from. Yeah. But sometimes even like good things that you would share about that relationship, if it's letting me know something about what kind of a person you are, I think is okay. Like, I actually like was having sex with this dude last night.
Let's talk about it.
It's the first time in a very, very, very long time. But in that conversation, like he was talking about like when like something that, you know, like I, again, because it's not something that was, that's going to be serious at all. Like it's very much just like, we're just two friends that were like, all right, let's do this. We both have needs. And it's been a very long time for both of us.
Nice.
And I was like, well, I'll shave my legs for you. Like that was pretty
that was
much,
nice
that
was a gesture.
That was my come on like that. I shaved my legs for you. And I forget where I'm going with this, but like he had mentioned that like he had dated a girl that like at points like in her life would just not shave anything, like let her armpits grow out, let her legs and like her, you know, and her bikini grow out, and that was it. And he was like, it was fine. He's like, because I loved her, so it didn't matter. And like to me, I thought that was actually a very endearing thing to hear from him, you know, because it was like, oh, like, you know, he's capable of like loving someone so much that like you don't care what body hair they have on them, because like you would love them like that.
It positions
much.
Him well. It's so, a good, good thing.
So it's like in that way, I'm like, oh, okay, you were sharing like something sweet about you where you're like, oh, I have the capacity.
Yeah, but
of
if he had said, but it completely turned
so
me
much.
On.
Right.
When, yeah. well, maybe that actually wouldn't be bad because he's still telling
like
me.
She
like,
had
I like
the
hairy
best
women.
Nose hairs.
Yeah. But like for me right now, like I notice, and sometimes I have to stop myself because I think my ex was a great person, and I actually like still like have so much like love for him. Like I think I he deserves to have somebody that like makes him completely happy because we were not right for each other. And it's like a very big thing. And I think it took a lot for like one of us to be strong enough to like step outside of how much love we had and step outside and go, this isn't going, like we love each other so much, but we are not right. And one of us had to be strong enough to say it. And it was him that was strong enough to say it. So it's like, it's like knowledge and emotion. Like I have the knowledge that we were not right for each other.
See, like, that's okay to share as
and
well.
Like, but well, so I think like I share all the things that I learned. Like, oh, like, oh, I know this now. Oh, I know that now.
You're just like, exchanging information. It's experience.
Yeah, it's like a community college degree from a relationship.
Yeah. Basically. So I would say for guys who are listening not to really be jealous and not feel like you have to one-up the boyfriend. Yeah. But if you open up and share a little bit. And the truth is that you can also share how uncomfortable this conversation makes you.
I think
yes. And that, you know what, I don't really want to hear this stuff. Like, I know you want to share. I'm happy sharing anything else. I don't have baggage with my ex. But I don't want to hear about you with another guy. Like, I think
and
that's honest
that is
as
so
well.
Much intimacy too. Just saying, like, as a man, like a woman, I think if she can acknowledge that even that for a man is very hard to, like, even open up and be that honest with us to go, hey, I have to be honest with you. Like, I'm uncomfortable right now. We're like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Like, we're so happy that you're even sharing that with us because it's very
something
vulnerable.
About you. Well, what about guys sharing that they don't have an ex? How do you feel about that? Like, let's say you met like a 35-year-old and he's like, I've never had a relationship. Like, how?
See, that's a weird one for me because I get asked that a lot where like people are like shocked that I only have like one ex and that I don't date very much. And I don't know how to respond to that. Like, I went on a date with somebody from a dating app and they were like, well, what's wrong with you? And like, I think, and they meant it in a complimentary way, but I was like, I don't know how to respond to that. So like, so part of me is like, okay, like, I guess I can find, like, I don't know, like, I've been on the receiving end of that question and it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I don't know.
But would that be a turnoff for you?
Not necessarily. I think I would have to be, I would ask questions. Like, I'd be like, oh, like, what do you, like, why have you not been in a serious relationship? And then see, and then sometimes, like, again, like, if he's open and honest of like, look, I've just spent so many years, you know, just fucking around and it's this, but like, now I'm ready for something else. I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
what if that wasn't the answer?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what the answer is, but I'm someone who hasn't had many relationships either. So
I think guys would be shocked be as to how many women would have the same response about themselves, that they also haven't had a lot of relationship experience.
Yeah.
So why haven't you?
I don't know. Which is also, I think, like, from dating, like, I've always been of the mindset, like, if I go on a date or two and I can already tell this isn't going to work, like, why would I keep this doing? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to date for the sake of dating.
That's why I never dated in high school, because I was like, I know I'm not marrying anyone from my high school. I'm moving away and doing other things. Like,
And so I didn't have any relationships for a really long time, and people looked at me like I was defunct or something, or like I was like
a lesbian
or weird.
Well, mine was the opposite. I grew up loving like romantic, like I grew up watching like Grease and Dirty Dancing, like my first movies ever.
Me too.
At like 4, I don't know what parent was like, oh yeah, just sit down in the basement and watch like Dirty Dancing.
My parents.
All of our parents.
Dirty Dancing part where like she's
in. But now I get the watermelons. I get it now. I didn't get it back then, but now I get all the sexual stuff.
It's that dancing scene where he takes off her shirt and she like rounds her back around. And it's like all that. But in my mind, first of all, it did make me very obsessed with sex. But obsessed with sex in the way where I was like, I want to get a boyfriend. And I want it to.
See, for me, it made me uncomfortable. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. It's too intimate. And blah, blah, blah.
I don't want to do a dance.
I also had a cousin that was like 10 years older than me. So I idolized everything that she did. And she went to high school and like, she's been with her husband since she was 15 years old. So I've known him since I was 5. So in my head, I was like, well, that's how life's going to go. I'm going to go to high school and I'm going to meet my boyfriend. And then that didn't happen. So I'm going to go to college. And I like idolized these romantic movies of like, that's how it works. Like you meet this one person and that's going to be your person.
Yeah.
And then it like, my life didn't work out like that. So it's like, I just kept waiting for this like one, and maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's also why it's like, I go on this date and I expect to feel.
Well, that's what I was going to ask
you. Instantaneous, so, like that's the one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like that. Sometimes it is, but sometimes for me, anybody I ever had that, that's the person, it did not work out.
And it works for a bit, and then you have to go through the real relationship.
Absolutely.
Then you got to get through the nitty gritty after that. But yeah, like I mean, my ex from our first date,
he just clicked.
We knew we were on, but like, it was on, and that was it.
So what's missing from certain dates? Like, so for guys who are listening, so I can understand, like, what makes a great date with you that you want to go on a second date versus I had a nice time? Like, how does that look different? And what is it that you're waiting to experience?
I'm working on also being more open-minded, because if I don't get that like aha thing, but I think it's like a comfortability. So if I'm there and I'm able to feel like very relaxed and comfortable and like very myself, that to me can be a really good date. If I don't have that right away, but I still think that there's like, they're a good person, but like maybe I'm just not being open, then I'm like, okay, Jackie, you need to at least go out like one more time and like really, you know, see if this is something. Like maybe, you know, maybe he's nervous. Maybe, you know, I also realize I'm a big person. Like my personality.
You have a big personality.
Yes.
That's scary for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
It is.
So I realize like maybe he's intimidated. Maybe he's like that. So I'm like, okay, like, so if I don't feel something right away, I'll do a second date too. But then after that, if I don't feel it,
I have the kind of rules in a way that you do, where I feel like I need to feel giddy around the guy on the first date. Otherwise I have zero interest in a second date. Like the guy that I'm currently obsessed with and have been for the past year and was almost over, but now not over again. And the reason I took 2 Xanax before you got here. So if I'm a little out of
just it. Just to make sure that you didn't like talk about it.
No, because it was stressing me out so bad, because I just got back from out of town and like, and so I was thinking maybe he would, you okay?
Yeah, I was just burping, so I was trying to blow it away from the microphone. But thank you for noticing.
Well, it's like a pregnancy thing.
Like grabbing my stomach.
Yeah, like.
Especially after I just had sex last night. Please don't say pregnancy. I'm like, oh,
seriously. I'm giving birth already.
Yeah, gosh.
Wow. Anyway, I don't even know what I was saying with that. Oh, with him, the reason I think that I became so addicted to him and so obsessed was because I had the butterflies and the giddiness 2 minutes into talking to him. I was like, oh my God, I would marry this guy.
And your brain's obsessed with the prospect of him.
And my brain will not let that go. And it's almost been a year.
I know exactly what you mean. I still can't let it go.
Therefore, that's why I had to take 2 Xanax today, because I was stressing out about it. But it's like tough, because now I'm dating. Now I go on dates and I'm like, I go into it with my arms kind of crossed, going, I'm not going to have the same giddiness that I had for the other dude.
Which is also,
and I know it.
You rationalize, and you know that that's not good to compare and to go in there.
Right, and I know I'm giving myself no opportunity to meet anybody.
Right.
Because maybe the potential's there, but I'm going and going, nope, you're not him. Right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm almost going just as a distraction.
I mean, I find myself doing that even on the dating apps, where I look and like, if I don't feel like they're career or their stature was like as good as my act or anything. And and part of my brain can rationalize that I'm doing it and is like, this is not fair. Like what you're doing, like you can be happy with somebody who let's say didn't have the same success or wasn't like, why are you comparing that? And then part of my brain is still like, no, but
yeah. And
no,
I feel
that's
like
the real you. That's the real you answering. Saying, I've done that before. Now I want bigger and better.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I think women's brains get very, I mean, at least mine, it gets very stubborn and it just kind of knows what it wants. Yeah. And I can't change. I would love to be able to change in my brain the desire that I have for that person. If I could and open myself up to other people, I wouldn't heartbeat. But it's like until my brain on its own wants to let that go and open my mind up to other men, it's not going to happen. But I'm just waiting for my brain to kind of like finally let that tight, like yeah. death grip that I have on him, let it go.
Well, I also wonder because whenever I think something, I'm always like, well, all women think this. And I'm like, maybe not. It could just be a Jackie thing. But like another person that I dated, and we only dated for like just a few months. This was like, he was essentially, I guess, like the rebound, even though it took like a year and a half for me to like have this like rebound because I was like in a state of depression for, you know, like year for at least a year after. But like we only dated for like 2 months and I still find my brain like obsessed. And I think it's because in those lonely hours where you're sitting in your bed, like just like alone and lonely, you know, and horny or whatever it is, your brain goes to like, well, who can I think of? And my brain was going to this, you know, to this like rebound guy where I'm like, yeah, but you knew this person, like that
yeah,
is
you
not
a rebound.
Like you don't actually want to be with this person, but I find my brain so fixated on them because they're either the last person that, you know, I dated or like my brain's like, oh, well maybe this could have worked. Or like, you know, I find myself so fixated. I'm like, what? Like I was telling you guys, like I was on my way here and I was going to be passing like that person's like place of work. And I was like, well, maybe I could find a reason to go in there. I'm like, why would you find it? Why?
Right.
But
why
in your head, are you saying like, I'd like to see him to see what?
Because there's still like this like part of me that's like it would maybe still be attracted or something that I'm like,
do you feel like
let me just see, yeah, let me just see how what he thinks.
Is that but that's really what it is? Is what he thinks, right?
Yeah,
that he's still attracted to you or still into you.
Even though I wouldn't date them.
Well, because I was okay. I'm going to end the show on this note, but like, so this one person wrote into me, and many people write in asking this question. Like, okay, I dated this girl. It didn't work out. She said she didn't want to be with me. But every few months, she texts me. Is she playing games with me? Is she messing with me? Is she testing me in some way? Is that what's going on or what is going on?
My brain does that for two reasons. One, sometimes it is just to be like, well, I wonder if I still like, I mean, there's just like the selfish thing of like, I wonder if I still have a hold on him. I wonder if he still does think of me because selfishly in our loneliness, we need to know that. And then sometimes it's also, at least for my brain, I'm such a people pleaser where part of me is like, well, I need to just make sure that we're okay. Like, are we okay? Like, are we friendly?
Those,
like,
yeah, yeah,
are
yeah.
we still all right? Like,
as well.
Are we, like, I just want to make sure like we're okay. And I think that's the reason why like I wanted to do like that pass by to this act. Not because like I necessarily want to see if I still have it, but a part of me is like, hey, are we okay? Like, is it okay if I come by and see? It's like, that's okay if I pop by, right? Because we're friendly, right? We're allowed to do this.
Well, and you look cute tonight. So you're like, okay, yeah. Well, and I want to look good.
And there was part of my brain that did think about that. And I was like, well, I am going into this part of town. So, just in case if I happen to want to go by there.
What's the best way for a guy to respond when a girl does that?
Well, it depends on what message he wants to send back. Okay. Like if the, like, I've found that like whenever I've reached out to just be like, oh my God, we're okay, right? We're friendly, da 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 da. This person like has responded and has kept it like friendly, but it's always me that has initiated the conversation. He's always been polite and kind and has responded, but he has never initiated a friendship back. So I'm like, all right, Jackie, either like he's acknowledging you, but like he's being smart. And it's like, why am I going to step foot into this painful thing? Like he's trying to be polite, but also protect himself. And yet I keep insisting on forcing this out of him. And in a way, it's actually quite a selfish move on my part.
As well.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
do you still text with exes even now that you're, like, married?
No, I don't text with exes, but I'll constantly do that. If I'm feeling down about myself in a moment, I'll just reach out to people and say, like, do you still like me? Like, it's not really saying, do you still like me, but do you still, am I still, like, a return
text in 10 minutes? Do you still think about that?
Or is it, like, a return text 3 days later?
Yeah, we do that. Like, today I was panicking over the other guy, and while I was home, this one guy who I think is really cute wrote to me, and he was like, so when you get back in town, you're going to go out to dinner with me, right? Hmm. And I think he's super cute. I don't know if we'd connect or whatever, but Today, when I was panicking about the other guy, I was about to write to that guy and say, so when are we going out?
Because we need to have, we need, like, I mean, sometimes.
I need to feel like I'm not like a throwaway person that people want me or want me in their life or whatever.
Well, I want you in my life. I think it goes,
I think it goes full circle back to the Brie thing. Like, men reach out immediately as far with the sex thing. We needed to know, like, can they get that? We need to know emotionally, can we get that?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a good place to end the show. I want to definitely have you back on the show and go deeper into this. Thanks but apparently me, iTunes does not like shows over 45 minutes now. Okay. So,
yeah, thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you. Minutes, yeah, no, no, but tell people where they can find you.
I am Jackie Gold on Twitter, at I am Jackie Gold, because I am. And then I have an album coming out called Maximum Occupancy. So it should be out within the next like week or two. A week or two after you hear this podcast. Or
when they get it.
Look, I'm going to have it on iTunes and on like Amazon and all that. Okay. So
very, very cool.
It's a quick, easy listen, like a quick little 40-minute album. But I love it. I mean, it's a good little note of like where I am in my life at this exact moment. It's like
that's
a bookmark. Awesome. And I think it's great.
That's awesome.
Okay, so where is it again? Say.
It'll be on iTunes and Amazon, and it's Jackie Gold, and it's called Maximum Occupancy.
I like that. Very good. Yeah. All right. You know, I don't even remember how we close the show. What do I say?
You say,
you guys are awesome.
No, I can do it. Oh, yes. You've done it every time, and I have it memorized. New shows come out every Thursday. Be sure to subscribe so you don't have to download each episode individually. I'm going to add this in. Make sure you share the show with a friend because I'm sure three friends, if you have three friends, and I'm sure if you're struggling with women, they are too because you guys are friends. So nerds find nerds is all I'm saying.
Oh, look at you. You're
and it's not just nerds that struggle.
No, because I'm super cool and I'm so struggling. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then also make sure to follow me on Instagram at Chris Karn.
Yes, exactly. If you want to write questions for overanalyze this, which we did not get to today, but we will get into very shortly on other future episodes, please write into ask at askwomenpodcast.com because that's what we are. We're Ask Women Podcast
What She Wants.
Exactly. You guys are awesome. Thanks for sticking with us during this time where we've taken a little bit of a break and being patient because we're back. We're awesome and keep listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.